if you don't remember anything else, like how to turn your microphone on or anything else about this service, remember that Jesus loves you. You know? Like, so I'm going to skip over. Oh, let me turn this on too. Got to turn everything on. Don't look. We'll go back. Okay. So, how many people know the story of Balaam? Balaam. I thought I know it. Every time I think I know it, I read it again. I'm like, this is a weird story. Like, you got to do a double take and read it again. And not just because of the talking donkey, just like stuff that happened. And Balak, don't get Balak and Balaam confused, but Balak was the king of the Moabites who were against Israel. Once Balaam, who was, strangely enough, a prophet that wasn't from Israel. So God had a prophet that wasn't from Israel. Once Balaam to curse Israel. And he sends people with money. And Balaam inquires of the Lord. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed, the people of Israel. And incidentally, God still has a plan for Israel, and Israel is blessed. So don't be cursing Israel. You can't curse blessed people. That was the message to Balaam from God. You can't curse God's people, that he's blessed them. Can't curse blessed people. And we're blessed through Jesus Christ. You know, a curse without cause shall not alight. That's like a proverb or a psalm. I can't remember where it was. But I was like, you know, oh no, I have a cause. But we take it to the cross, and Jesus paid the price, and there's no cause anymore. You know, you can't curse God, who God blesses, and he blesses us in Jesus Christ. And so Balak, the king, sends princes more numerous and honorable and ask again. And Balaam says, no, but he's got to throw the but in there. So Balaam answered and said, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God, nor do less or more. Now that sounds like he really wants to walk with God, you know? And then he says, now therefore, please, you stay here tonight. And then here's the kicker. He continues on. And God had already told him only to say what he told him to say. And he says something else. He says something else. And that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God had already said no. Right? So why does he need to know what more the Lord will say to him? The people want him to curse the Israelites. The king wants them to curse the Israelites. And he's going to ask what more he's going to say to them. The answer is no, they're blessed by God. And sometimes God lets us have our way, even though it leads to bad things. So we want to be in God's perfect will, which includes his heart, like his thoughts and his heart and his mind on the subject. We don't want to be in God's permissive will, where he's like, okay, I'll permit you, but you're going to suffer the consequences. We don't want to be there. And this is what happened. He went, God told him, go. He went to meet Balak on his donkey, and he had two servants with him. So Balaam, the prophet, rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And then God's anger aroused because he went. And I was like scratching my head. I was like, why was God mad? He told him to go. Because he pushed the issue. God had already told him no, and he pushed the issue, and he allowed him to go. His anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Wow. Like in Christ, like with communion, I think David was saying something. He's our advocate. You know, he's not our adversary. But if we get in the flesh, he's an adversary against our flesh, but not against us. He's for us. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the funny thing was, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, but he didn't. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord, and that led to a conversation with Legion. I do animals see angels like all the time? You know, like, I don't know. But maybe sometimes, right? For sure sometimes, once at least. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on the side and a wall on that side. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. So who couldn't see the angel? Balaam. And Balaam was not in the heart of God. He was not in God's heart, and he couldn't see. Like, that's something to think about. He couldn't see the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She laid down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. And then this is the strangest, one of the strangest parts of the story. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, I mean, this is not just a talking donkey, it's a reasoning donkey. "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he's reasoning back, and he says, "No." And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord. And this isn't a very good picture, but this is one where he was bowing down. But I think the angel of the Lord appeared a lot more powerful than that to him. But standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. Sounds humble. Sounds good response. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you." And this is what he says, "Because your way is perverse before me." Now, you go back and read the story again. He asked God, and God says, "Okay." And then God's angry at him and says, "Your way is perverse before me." So he wasn't looking for the heart of God. God already told him his heart. "I'm blessing these people. I'm blessing." Why would he go with the people that wanted to curse the people that God blessed? They wanted him to curse them. He knew they wanted him to curse them. Why would he ask to go with them? And that's why God was upset, because he wasn't following God's heart in the matter. He was following the letter. And there's God's way and your way. He says, "Your way is perverse before me." He didn't do anything God told him not to do, but his way was perverse before God. The way of Balaam, to obey on the outside, but the heart is far from God. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. He didn't, but he did, because God already told him from the get-go, Israel's blessed and not to go. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. So he's about the letter. That's why I included this. He's about the letter. Like, we can actually take the Bible and use it in a very distorted way. Not looking for God's heart on the matter, but just looking for a bunch of do's and don'ts. And I want the blessing. I want the blessing that comes with obedience, but I don't want to bless him. And we were talking about bless him in the sanctuary. Bless him when the times are plenty. Bless him. Bless your name. Like, we want the blessing, but don't want to bless him. That's when you follow the letter and not worry about what his thought is on the matter, right? And this is what Balaam was doing. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you. He had already told him that in Numbers. He had already told him that you shall speak, which was going to be to bless them. So the reason I kind of know, read into the story a little bit, is because of the New Testament. You can read some about this story in the New Testament. 2 Peter 2:15 to 16, they talking about these false prophets and apostates. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know, like, there can be an unrighteousness that pays in this world. Like, we can have lots of fun, we can have lots of profit in this world, but a bad retirement plan. Maybe a good retirement plan in this world, but a bad retirement plan for eternity. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. It's like transgression of the law. When he was obeying the letter, he was actually, it says he was rebuked for his transgression of it. What was his transgression of it? Asking again when he already knew. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. And this is 2 Peter 2:16. It called the prophet, it called it the madness of the prophet. Like, he was crazy to go against God. And so that tells me he actually wanted to go and curse Israel and get the money. And then when the angel appeared to him, then he stuck to the letter. He still stuck to the letter. And he found a different way around it. Which, he didn't listen to God and bless them. He found a way around and cursed them. And we know from the, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but the end of the story, he counsels Balak to send the Moabite women in to get them to worship idols and to be sexually perverse. He sends them in. And then God actually curses them. A plague comes on them. So he cursed them, but just not directly, in a roundabout way. He counseled Balak how to get it done. So that wasn't the heart of God. And then Jude 11 talks about the error of Balaam for profit. And in the same passage, it says, the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and Korah. And the way of Cain was a religious, self-righteous, jealous murderer of Abel, who was the man of faith. He's like the Antichrist, almost, just a religiosity, self-righteousness. And then Korah had approbation lust. He wanted to lead when he wasn't called to lead, and rebellion against God's man. And he puts this story, or the error of Balaam, it calls it here, before it calls the way of Balaam. But in Jude 11, it says the way of Cain and the error of Balaam. But it puts it with those two other stories like that. the era of Balaam for profit. It says, and then in Revelation 2:14, it says the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, doctrine just means teaching, the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Could this be a doctrine today? Could this be a teaching today? Could somebody teach that, you know, like, you name it, is okay? Like, well, why get, the, what was it? Somebody was saying that they had an old-time expression they used to live by. Why get the cow when, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? You know, like, whatever. You know, like, this could be a doctrine that comes in the church, you know? The doctrines of the world, the teachings of the world can come into the church, right? And or teach the world a worldly teaching that attacks the weaknesses of the church. Like he pointed them to what the weaknesses of the church were, right? And caused the church to stumble. It's really evil. 2 Peter. Balaam's madness was restrained by a dumb donkey speaking. That's crazy. So do you know any people you think are dumb? Don't miscount them because God can use them to speak to you. You know? So don't, like in the King, we just said don't say this from the pulpit, but in the King James, it doesn't say dumb donkey. It says dumb something else. So when you call in people that, God might use that person to talk to you. So like we need to be careful. So God opened his eyes and restrained him from cursing Israel. But even though God did that, he turned from the heart of God, right? And we need our eyes open. How many people need our eyes open? We need to see clearly, right? But we also need our heart soft and our heart broken. There's a song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open up. And that's a really good song because open the eyes of my heart. Like, I want to know your will. I want to see you for who you are. I want to follow you. I want to bless you. And so you think about Eve. She was deceived, right? Eve was blind. She didn't see it coming. But Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. His heart was swayed by Eve. And then Balaam's heart was swayed by money. Is there something that can sway our heart? You know, like there shouldn't be. Like, or we should watch out for it. We should guard our heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. And then this is just a little story. I'm not going to go into the whole message part of it. I'll just read the thing. So the king of Syria sent an army with chariots and everything to get Elisha. And he surrounded the city of Dothan where Elisha was. And then Elisha prayed. He said, I pray, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw like the heavenly host, the army of God that was there. So the servant couldn't see it, and then he saw it after he prayed, right? So it's really important for us to pray that other people's eyes are open, right? So like every week Debbie prays for her son. You know, we're praying that their eyes will be open. And then here's another picture of it, because there's all these pictures. That's probably not reality. It's just what somebody thinks it looks like, right? And, yeah. So Balaam couldn't see the angel of the Lord, and then the Lord opened his eyes. So the Lord can open our eyes. And and then God can allow us to see his will, and then we can also ignore it. out of a love for blank. In Balaam's case, money, right? And then you have countless other stories, blind Bartimaeus, and how many stories do we have in our walk with God in our life where we had a blind spot and God showed us? Or even sometimes, like this pastor who I really respect at the conference, Lee just said, don't get off on testimonies. You'll be here all day. They don't want to hear every detail. But I'll tell this one. There's a pastor I really respect, and he was like, you know, I couldn't hear anything the whole night until the end. And it's like my ears opened. I can't wait tomorrow to go read my notes because he couldn't hear anything earlier. And I was like, I thought it only happened to me. It happened to this guy who I really respect, you know. Like sometimes, like God can be moving and we're not getting it. There's a blind spot. And then God can just move it out of the way too, right? And what do you think Satan wants to do? He wants to blind people from the truth, right? And so the unsaved, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what did Elisha do so that his servant could see? He prayed, right? He prayed. And Satan is blinding people in our families, in our county, in our country, in the world. We need to pray. We need to pray for lost people. And then, okay, so we do believe. We've seen. God's opened our eyes. We know he's the Savior. And we walk with him. And then sometimes we have blind spots in our walk. And we think everything, like we know God. I've been walking with God for umpteen years. I know God. God's spoken to me many, many times. He's going to speak to me today. One of the things they said at the conference I really liked too, it was the morning, the pastor's session in the morning. He said, you know, we need to cry out to God. We need to be humble because we can't live in yesterday's anointing. You know, like, just because God was talking to us yesterday, we can't presume. You know, we need to be humble. And like, we were singing that Thursday night. We need you every hour. We need you. I can't sing the hymn. Maybe you could hum it. We need you. Oh, I need you. You know the hymn. Anyway, every hour we need thee, right? We need him every hour. And so say we're saved. We can still have blind spots. Like money was a blind spot for Balaam. And if you got, literal family, but this is, I think this is talking about the family of God. But he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother, fellow believer, is in darkness and walks in darkness. Now this is talking about our walk with God, walk circumspectly. You know, it's not talking about salvation. Walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So a believer can walk in darkness. And this is why it's so important to walk by faith, not by sight. By sight and logic, I could have every reason to hate my brother, right? But by faith, I'm like, God loves him. He's a new man, like no man after the flesh, even yourself. Balaam's eyes were open to see the angel. God gave him a very clear message. Only say what I tell you to. This is Numbers 22:35. Only say what I tell you to. And he did. He blessed Israel. But then he added something to it later. He said something more than God told him to. He told him how to get to him, right? He rationalized. This is what he probably thought, I'm not cursing Israel. God told me not to curse Israel. I'm not cursing Israel. I cannot do that because God won't allow me to curse Israel. And then he wanted the money. He advised the Moabites how to get it done. How did Elisha cause his servant's eyes to open? I just asked the question. I ask questions over and over so we remember it. So if you see somebody hating their brother, we go up and yell at him. No. How did he get his eyes to open? He prayed. Yeah, he prayed. And we need to be in light to see where we're going, to see, to walk. Sometimes when we cannot see, what do? We turn on a light, right? I got this new thing from Harbor Freight. It's a little spotlight. And at night, I'll let the dogs out to the bathroom where the dogs will be barking. That thing will go all the way across my yard. I can see a fox or, you know, skunk or what. I can see them way out there. And it's nice to have a good light, right? You turn on a flashlight. Or in your car, the dome light. And my neighbors have a floodlight. It's way over there, but it's pointed at us. I can't stand that thing. But those floodlights, the LEDs now really light it up. But as believers, we can say, I see fine. I'm in the light. And we need to turn on the light if we're actually in darkness, right? And how do we do that? There's the flashlight. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We talked about this before, and we need to be reminded about it. We need God's word and not the letter only. We need, when we approach the Bible, we need to think, God, like, show me what your thought is. I want to know you. I want to know your thought on the subject. And if I'm walking around saying, I'm in the light, I know my Bible, I'm a great believer, and I hate my brother, then I need to quit being a know-it-all. You know? I need to get simple with God, and I don't know anything as I ought. 1 Corinthians 8:2. So if you're hating your brother, think about that. You don't know anything as you ought. You need some more light. You need to get in the word. You need to, like, and God will shine a light. Sometimes, anybody ever had this happen? He'll shine a light on your own sin. And you'd be like, oh, God, forgive me. I'm no better than him. You know? It's like, So like with Balaam, he wanted to appease God somehow. Sometimes we just want to appease God and follow the law, obey the rule. And I can tell you right now, that's too hard. I can't do that. I mean, in my own strength. I mean, I do have a desire to do that, and that is God's heart that I do that, right? But if I'm trying to appease God by doing that, it's too hard. It's already been tried, and it continues to be tried by many others, believers and unbelievers. They're trying it. They're trying it, and probably you this week and me too. We're trying it, and then we come back and we see the cross. We're like, oh, well, I forgot. Yeah, I need God's grace. God is awesome. That's why communion is so important too, right? It just helps us to bring us back to the cross, and yeah. Or do we really want to know God? And Balaam didn't want to know God's heart. He wanted the blessing, but he didn't care about his thought. Oh, wait here while I go ask God again. I mean, even though he already told me to bless Israel, already told me to, let me just go ask him one more time. I want that money. But if you see how much he loves you, you see how much God loves you, then you'll want to know his heart. Like, really, that sounds too simple, right? Like, if you don't remember anything from this service, remember that Jesus loves you, right? Then we know his heart. That's his heart. He loves you. And when we receive that, just let God love you, we start receiving it, then we have a desire. We love him because he first loved us. We have a desire to know his heart. It affects our heart when we receive his love. And the entrance of your words gives light. When we accept his thought, he loves me. That's probably the most powerful thought. He loves me. And then we see more. We can see more. We can take the plank out of our own eye. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that you'll open our eyes and open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see you. We want to see your mighty hand. We want direction. We want to know your heart. We want to receive your love. Yes, Lord. Not just how we can be blessed, but how we can bless you. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me. His love is free. God demonstrates it, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So receive his love. Receive his forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.